Well, we're going to talk about the birth of Jesus this morning. And this is one time that I do not try to find a unique way, but just read the scriptures, read what our Lord has done for us, for we celebrate the birth of our Lord who came and took on humanity. In Luke 1, we have John the Baptist being born. And that was a miracle in and of itself. Elizabeth, who was well past the years of having children, the same to be said of Zacharias, her husband, and these are the parents of John. Elizabeth, upon being found pregnant, she rejoiced, saying, God has looked upon me and took away my reproach among men. In that culture, to be barren was indeed a reproach. But John, he is a prophet. John never did any quote-unquote healing miracles that we know of, but he was given the responsibility to prepare the way of the Messiah. And John, it was said of John by Jesus, there was no greater man born of women than John. What a high thing to say. So at the right moment, at the correct, precise time, John is born. Gabriel announces that, telling her she will be chosen, just like Elizabeth, Mary has been chosen, and she will be the mother of Messiah. This is an interruption to the way things were in Israel, for there has been a period of 400 years of silence by God to his people. 400 years. And that gap is between the Old Testament and the New Testament. But now we have bursting on the scene Gabriel, an angel who's given the responsibility of announcing to Mary and to Elizabeth that they're going to have a baby. And Gabriel gives the message of John's birth, and it was a forerunner of the Christ, but Mary's given the same thing. You're going to be overcome by the Holy Spirit. There were no birth announcements, just an angel saying, hey, this is the way it's going to be. But an angel of God, a specific angel, is given the good news to Mary and Elizabeth, and Jesus comes forth. And in this precise moment in history, the only begotten Son of God is born. And he's born of a young Jewish virgin, Mary. In chapter 1 of Luke, verse 45, Mary is told, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. So Mary is blessed to believe. You ever think about that? How we are blessed to believe? You ever wonder why everybody doesn't believe? I do. It's so logical for us to believe that we sometimes are perplexed that our friends and sometimes relatives don't believe. But for Mary to believe, it's a great blessing to her. And Mary, she's a godly little Jewish girl, and she magnifies the Lord with her song of praise. Now, this song that Mary gives, we're going to read it, but listen to the details. Listen to the depth of her love of the Lord and her relationship with the Lord as we read this song that Mary recorded. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant, for behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imaginations of their heart. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his seed forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. She's at Elizabeth's house now. Mary goes to see Elizabeth. They think that Elizabeth was probably in about her sixth month of pregnancy. And these two women have a blessed time of fellowship. Can you imagine their conversation with one another? But the time of Joseph and Mary to go to Bethlehem, the city of David, is upon Mary and Joseph. And by an order of Caesar Augustus, and this is amazing, God is using the Caesar to work out the birth of his own son. He's using the Roman government. And so let's read in Luke 2, 1 through 7, some of the details. "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered." This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. "So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. And he went to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Mary takes this journey with Joseph, and her birth time is upon her. Jesus is born. And this is Mary's firstborn. Mary had other children, but Jesus was her firstborn. And she wraps Jesus in swaddling cloths, lays her baby in a manger. Now, a manger is a polite way of saying feeding trough. Now consider an animal's feeding trough. If you know anything about animals, they slobber a lot when they eat. So this feeding trough, this manger, is coated with animal saliva. It's just the way it was. And these animals now have been removed from their eating place, a place where animals act like animals. They grunt, they groan, and there's strong odors where they eat. Many believe this was a rudimentary corral, or simply an overhang of rocks, maybe even a cave where Jesus was born. Now, being a man with cows, And sometimes, even this morning, I gave them some sweet feed in their trough. And when you feed cows that weigh 1,000 pounds each, you pour the feed in that trough, then you stand back and get out of their way. They're bouncing around, they're anxious, they're excited about having sweet feed, and they're ready to eat, so don't get in their way. I will pour out that feed, and then I'm out of there quickly, or you get trampled. It gets interesting when I have a bull on premises. The bull, he will take his place. He's wanting to have that sweet feed just like the cows, and they are even bigger and heavier than the cows. So it's interesting when the bull's around. So Jesus, he's laid in a feeding trough. You have to get an image of that. It's could have been a wooden trough. It could have been a stone trough, just kind of hollowed out where they pour the feed in and the animals eat. But anyway, it's not the most sanitary place. But now we change the scene. We go from the birth of Jesus there in the corral, whatever, and we go out to the pastures or the fields to where the sheep and the shepherds live. So now let's read verses 8 through 20, and it will tell us more about the scene. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." So it was when the angel had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherd returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen as it was told them. Shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock. It's probably the springtime of the year. December 25th, highly unlikely to be the actual birth date of our Lord Jesus. But an angel of the Lord stands before these shepherds, and they're in great fear. I think this angel is none other than Gabriel, who appeared to Mary. And he tells the shepherd, "Don't be afraid." Now, how do you tell someone don't be afraid when they're frightened? That's not very comforting. You think, well, maybe I shouldn't be afraid, but you are afraid. "For I bring you good tidings of great joy, not just for yourself, but for all of mankind." The exposure of Christ's birth to shepherds is sort of amazing. For shepherds, you were a shepherd when you couldn't do anything else in life. Shepherds were the least trusted men of that society. you could not even use a shepherd's word in a court trial. They were just, no, that's a shepherd. We won't listen to him. They were looked down upon in their character. But they're given by God the great news to spread that great news. And Gabriel, he will continue, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. And you shepherds, you're going to find him, and he's going to be a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths. Swaddling cloths were just a square piece of material, diaper, and they would lay the baby in the middle of it and then fold around these corners of this square cloth, and that was the diaper for the baby. And you're going to find him, and he's going to be, excuse me, lying in a manger. And then all of a sudden, there is a multitude of angels, and they're praising God, saying, and some think, perhaps singing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Then the angels go back into heaven. And the shepherds, they come to a conclusion. Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this event that has happened and has been told to us by the angels, which the Lord, they give God credit, which the Lord has made known to us. Now, we also have a responsibility here at Christmas in particular to let people know what Christmas is all about. So be like one of the shepherds. We too have experienced the true birth of our Lord in our hearts and souls. And the shepherds, they go and they find Mary and Joseph, and Jesus is lying in that manger. And God has chosen for the birth of Jesus to be extremely humble. Jesus' bed, a cradle, is a feeding trough. Not only a lowly birth out with the animals, but a poor entrance for the King of Glory, who chose to come into a corral, a manger for a bed, the Lord of Glory there. The shepherds, when they come and they see this birth scene, they have an obligation within themselves to make it known to everybody who will listen to them. They are given the responsibility of making this birth of the Savior known to their world. God used shepherds, the least reliable, the least respected men, to be the herald of his Christ. And everyone who heard these shepherds marveled at the events of Jesus' birth. And it's told to them by shepherds. But Mary, she's thinking, she's pondering over all that has happening. She's sorting through this with her firstborn son lying there in this manger. And the shepherds come back, and they're glorifying God, and they're praising God that they have been allowed to see and understand the things that have happened, and they want to go out and share with everyone who will listen to them the birth of Jesus. Lowly shepherds. And they're given the duty of spreading the most wonderful news that mankind has ever known. And so here we are, you and I, 2,000 years later, And you and I have that same message. Herald the Jesus. Herald the Savior of the world. Make it widely known. What a wonderful message. What a glorious message. For unto us, Christ the Lord is born. And with that, I say Merry Christmas. Our Lord is with us. Amen. Amen.